Hello and welcome to beautiful San Diego, California, the home of not only legendary newsman Ron Burgundy, but this week, Ingram MicroCloud Summit and the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. This week, as I just suggested off the top, I'm coming to you live, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, from Ingram Micro's Cloud Summit. We'll have coverage on the site all week from here in San Diego. We'll be joined on the show by such luminaries as Ingram Canada Cloud boss Greg Onoprienko. But for today's edition of the show, we're taking a little bit of a different approach. I had the chance to sit down here at Cloud Summit with some of the six Canadian award-winning partners on hand here in San Diego. We'll explore who each of these partners are, how their own cloud journey has evolved over time, and how they're working with Ingram to move to what's next for them on the cloud front. Before we get started, a word on the audio. We were recording here in a room full of meetings, and while the conversations we're having come through loud and clear, I'd like to apologize if you find a little bit of background noise behind our conversations annoying at all. We've done our best to minimize it, and I assure you, these are conversations that are worth hearing. We'll start things off with a discussion with Paul Twigg, Vice President of Technology at Sierra Systems, Ingram's Canadian Infrastructure as a Service Rockstar of the Year Award winner. And we'll find out how it is the company, which identifies itself as an application-centric company, comes to be known as a rockstar in the IaaS cloud world. Paul, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
I guess to throw it open, can you tell me a little bit about Sierra, kind of the nickel tour of the organization, the history, and what you guys are focused on?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sierra Systems, we're now an NTT data company. Mm-hmm. Been around since 1966, purely Canadian-based, coast-to-coast, focus mm-hmm. on systems integration. So we're an SI company in Canada. We really focus on the application stacking up, right? So helping our clients build applications, deploy applications, support applications across many different platforms.
Okay. Obviously, cloud is a journey for most organizations. Can you sort of walk me through the cloud journey for Sierra to date?
Yeah, it's been a big journey for Sierra because, you know, about 60% of our business comes from the public sector in Canada, right? And so you look at the privacy problems, the sovereignty problems in Canada mm-hmm. with cloud. You know, it's been a long journey for the last few years. I think our technologists have been focused on cloud for, let's say, you know, the last 4 or 5 years with a big push for our clients, but it's only recently where we've seen a lot of our clients start to adopt the cloud and move that way.
And what's, you touch on a few things, obviously, that have driven customers that way or made it possible for customers to drive that way, but what have been sort of the biggest deciding factors in customers going from being interested in it as a concept to executing?
Yeah, two things. I mean, I think one of them, obviously, you know, from a Microsoft perspective, the Canadian cloud, the Canadian data center has been in place. You know, AWS has the Canadian data center in mm-hmm. place as well. And so we've got data sovereignty now. Budgets are changing. You know, there's mm-hmm. a big driver out there to use the cloud. So as a CIO, if you don't have a cloud strategy in place, if you're not already using the cloud, you're behind the game a little
right.
bit.
Right. Okay. So you guys won for and I love the name of this award, the IaaS Rockstar Partner of the Year. That's
that.
Congrats on a really
almost
cool.
Almost got my guitar out. There you go. Jamming.
Yeah. So along with the jamming, can you tell me a little bit about what the IaaS business has meant for you and how you've seen it change over the last year?
Yeah. So I mean, we see the infrastructure as a service as a core component now of our business. Mm-hmm. Back a few years ago, we really didn't. Right. Infrastructure was somebody else's problem to solve. But now everything relies on that infrastructure. As a CIO, you know, you're solving storage, you're solving network pieces, you're solving security pieces. Mm-hmm. Applications come after that. But if we're not in the infrastructure game, we're also not going to be in the application space as well. And so that was part of Sierra Systems evolving into this new cloud world as well.
Right, right. Can you talk a little bit about sort of your history as an organization of working with Ingram on the cloud business?
Yeah, so we signed our agreement with Ingram a few years ago, and they've really been just taking the pain of working with cloud licensing, especially away from us, the, you know, helping us train our people and getting our people up to speed, helping us with our partnership agreements as well. So, you know, just really allowing us to be the SI instead of the expert in all of the logistics of making the cloud work.
Okay, great, great. And obviously with a title like IaaS Rockstar, and I know from talking to Greg that IaaS is an area that is, has been historically perhaps a smaller part of the business, but is a part they're really focusing heavily on. Can you talk a little about the kind of growth you've seen in that space?
Yeah, for us, it's multiples of hundreds of percent growth over the last year. IaaS is the place where every organization starts. Mm. Software as a service or subscription as a service, many organizations are there, but there's not real massive growth potential in that particular space. The infrastructure as a service is the start to get to the platform as a service, and that's certainly what we see at Sierra, being an application focused organization, is if we can get people into PaaS and the platform as a service, then we know where they need to be. But infrastructure service comes first, right? We got to get their data into the cloud, their applications into the cloud.
And it is, as you say, or it must be a mindset change for your organization as being so application-centric to take infrastructure as kind of the first step to getting to where you ultimately want to be with PaaS.
It is. I look at our director of infrastructure, Ernie Miller, who's been involved in all of our projects. He's got a 1-3-letter acronym he uses in every sentence, and it's MFA, multi-factor authentication, right? Mm. It's a different way of thinking, right? And you need somebody who is well-versed and well-understood in infrastructure to be able to make that leap out there.
What do you find the typical or the most common challenges you have in working with customers around IaaS and sort of getting their heads around it and getting their business models perhaps shifted around it?
Yeah, it's security. Mm-hmm. If you asked me that question 2-3 years ago, I'd talk to you about CapEx and OpEx. That problem
right,
solved.
It was more about understanding what IaaS was and wanting to get involved. Now it's about how do we make this all play nicely?
Now it's security. Let me give you an example of that. Sure. So, we've got one big client and they've got a bunch of protected B class data that they want to put into the cloud. And when we're talking to them about where that data is, they're like, well, some of it's in Exchange, some of it's on file systems, some of it's in SharePoint. In fact, to be honest, we know we've got lots of it, we just don't know where it is. And so, we're talking about how do they move their systems up into the cloud? And they're like, well, that's our barrier right now, is we can't move our systems there because we actually don't know where that protected information is. So, we're working with those guys on a project where we can help them understand where that protected information is, so that we know which systems we can put up into the cloud. But all about security.
What do you see as next steps in your own IaaS Rockstar journey at Sierra?
Yeah, so our next steps are really to move just our project-based infrastructure services really out into more of a managed service.
Right.
Leverage some of the capabilities that our new parent company, NTT Data, have brought to the game, and really looking at cloud as a managed service. And we can see that journey with Ingram, just getting bigger and bigger over the next years.
How much of the business is managed services today, and where do you see that sort of projecting in terms of percentage of the business over time?
Yeah, so about 30% of our business right now is managed services, but that falls under several different categories. Our cloud business is hovering between 10 and 15% of total revenue there, which again is not where we need it to be. But we see as we can move our managed services more into our cloud kind of focus area. Cloud managed services will become 50% of our business over the next 2 to 3 years.
What do you think it was, not asking you to speak for Ingram, but what do you think it was that led to you guys being named the rock star of the year in this key category of infrastructure as a service?
That's a good question. I think with the Ingram team, we've worked closely with them over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I think they've got to know Sierra, they've got to know our Sierra team. I believe we're responsive and and likewise, they're responsive too. So these are communications that go on every single day, whether it's licensing, whether it's training, whether it's services. But there's a conversation between someone at Sierra and someone at Ingram every single day.
What are you hoping to get out of Cloud Summit X?
You know, for me personally, I think really a good understanding of the Ingram Cloud, right? Cloud Blue, and how we could actually start to utilize that. So, you know, I think our relationship right now with Ingram is you know, while it's great, it's just at the starting point. Right, mm-hmm. You know, we're using Ingram for licensing there to get us to that next point. I think that, you know, there's massive opportunity there for Cloud Blue with our clients, as our clients are now coming to us and saying, look, we don't even want to bother with Azure, right? We don't want to bother with AWS. We know we can get there, but we don't want that. We want to manage cloud service there, but that's not Sierra, right? So we need that intermediary, which we believe is probably going to be Ingram.
All right. Great. Appreciate your taking the time. Thanks.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
Up next, we sit down with Craig Slack, managing partner of Vancouver-based Blue Silver Shift, the Ingram Micro and Microsoft Azure Partner of the Year, and a two-time award winner, having also walked away with an award at last year's Cloud Summit. As well as sharing the Born in the Cloud partners' history, Craig shares some thoughts on where Blue Silver Shift is heading next with an eye on data science, and he offers his thoughts on how his company partners with other partners in the kind of partner-to-partner motion that we see quite regularly in the cloud world.
Craig, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk a little bit about the partnership, and you guys won Ingram and Microsoft as your Partner of the Year for Canada.
Correct.
To start with, for those who aren't familiar with Blue Silver Shift, can you maybe take us through a little bit of the background of the company?
For sure. So we're a born in the cloud Azure specialist company, west coast of Canada, Vancouver, BC, with you know plans to expand beyond that, but. We kind of started off 2.5 years ago in 2016 when Microsoft brought regions to Canada, Azure regions that is, and we identified that companies using the Microsoft stack, whether it's development, SQL Server, whatever, if it's Microsoft, it makes the most sense to go on Azure. So we went all in on Azure and built a team from at the time, started out with just myself and my business partner, up to 40 consultants now. And
wow.
Continue to grow. So we've seen incredible growth in this space. In the last trailing 12 months, our Azure consumption has gone from a CSP perspective like 12 times growth. Our influenced revenue for consumption through like enterprise agreement customers and so on has gone 1,000 times up.
Wow.
So I think probably that's why we won the Azure Partner of the Year award, which is amazing, and I thank Ingram and Microsoft for that. It actually caught us by surprise because we were nominated in a totally different category and didn't think that there was this award. So it was very good, very humbling, actually, as we're just doing what we do and what we think we do very well. And so,
right on.
Yeah,
right on. So tell me a little bit about sort of your customers and you know sort of profile customers and yeah, where you're targeting.
For sure. So we were actually targeting in two spaces right now. We've got enterprise as kind of our core business, and just in the last 6 months, we started focusing on another part of our business on mid-market. So going after those 100 to 1,000 person companies that are, we find they're much more cloud ready or willing to go to the cloud because there's maybe not the legacy that they have to deal with like large enterprises have. So we're making good inroads there. We're building a number of campaigns to target those companies and individuals in those companies. That's going to not only you know build the awareness of Azure and moving to the public cloud, but also Blue Silver Shift as a company and getting ourselves our name out there. So we're definitely seeing the uptick on the mid-market side, and enterprise is you know it's I think. Just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the adoption will be in the next 3 to 5 years.
Right. What was it about Azure that made you decide this was where we're going to build the business? Because when you made the bet, it was as you say, pretty early days for Azure in Canada.
Yes.
And pretty early days for cloud writ large in Canada, because there had been that kind of a little bit slower to develop market due to the fact that the public cloud players weren't set up with zones in country and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'll take a step back even further. My business partner and I had had a previous company we started in 2010, software as a service solution we built on AWS, ironically. So we, at the time in 2010, evaluated AWS and Azure. Azure was brand new, really, really early days. And then hands down, you know, the technical decision was, okay, we're going to go AWS. Microsoft had a lot of catch up to do. And I think you talk to anybody at Microsoft, they would agree. So we were down that path. But during that, you know, 2010 to 2016, when we started Blue Silver Shift, we were so passionate about the cloud. We were talking to clients like saying, hey, you know what, why aren't you guys doing this? You know, why aren't you doing lift and shift? And in Canada, a lot of companies are surprisingly concerned about having their data in the U.S. Whether they have you know, a legal requirement or there's some regulatory issue that they can't have their data outside of the province or country, sometimes it's just a fear that, nope, we want to stay in Canada. So that's what held back a lot of Canadian companies to move to the cloud. So we still see, even now a couple years in, with Microsoft having regions in Canada, Canada is like probably 2 years behind the rest of the world in terms of public cloud adoption. So we're trying to educate people, educate companies, and try to make that investment in growing the market there. And and we see that there's a lot of interest in Azure in particular. So
you touch on sort of the data residency aspect of it. Aside from that, and on top of that, how have you seen sort of the cloud discussion evolve over the last couple of years with your customers and your potential customers?
So the answer really is moving from infrastructure discussions with our customers to you know, from the common lift and shift scenarios where customers familiar with how to manage VMs on-prem to managing those VMs in the cloud is really the same way that they're doing things, right? So it's not that different and not that difficult for a customer to wrap their head around IaaS, right? So it's similar to what they're doing today. So where it's evolving to is platform as a service or application modernization, so taking monolithic applications, helping them bust it up into microservices, leveraging containers, those sort of things. That is where the future is, and that's where the real benefits of the cloud come in, is when you're using the PaaS services. IaaS, you know, I view it as a commodity. It's, you're just paying for compute and storage, and it's a race to the bottom from a value proposition perspective. So the real value is going to come from, now you're leveraging PaaS. No longer do you have to patch your VMs. You don't have to worry about monitoring, you know, is it for uptime and all that. Like, let Microsoft handle that for you. That's what you're paying them for. And interestingly, we've done comparisons of running services, whether it's, you know, web services or databases or what have you, on IaaS VMs versus on PaaS. Even though, you know, just looking at the raw numbers, maybe PaaS is slightly more expensive. It's not significantly more expensive. But when you factor in, now you don't have to pay somebody to patch those VMs once a month or whatever frequency you're patching. You're not having to do backups. It's all handled for you. Like, it those costs that are often hidden and just absorbed by the IT group no longer have to be taken care of. So PaaS is the way of the future from a public cloud, and ultimately whatever the evolution of all of that is down the road. So.
All right. So how long have you been working for Ingram, and why Ingram as a partner on this journey?
That's a great question. We first started about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So when we first started the company, we weren't sure if we wanted to go down the CSP route. We didn't know if we wanted to be reselling Azure, but we saw the benefit there of building a strong relationship with our customers, being the trusted advisor for them. And you know, obviously, as you're starting out, you don't have all the infrastructure and everything behind you to do all the billing direct with Microsoft, tying in with their APIs. So we looked around at the different partners that are out there. You know, you name, there's many of them, and we get calls from them all the time saying, hey, do you want to move your CSP business over? And the thing I keep coming back to is Ingram provides us a lot of ancillary benefits that, you know, I actually directly ask these other people when they call me, is like, are you able to do this for us? And the answer is inevitably no. So Ingram is obviously a very large company, and they bring a lot of additional resources that we can tap into. And you know, so I think we've built a good, strong partnership in the last year and a half, 2 years with Ingram that we value. And you know, the fact that we got second year in a row an award from them for being Cloud Partner of the Year, and this year being the Azure Partner of the Year for Canada, I think it speaks to that strong partnership, and we appreciate their support very much.
All right. What do you see? You sort of touched on where you see the cloud market going next in terms of the moving more towards, much more towards platform, but yeah. What do you see as sort of the next shift for BlueSilverShift? What's on your roadmap?
I'm obviously not going to divulge everything, all of our secrets.
Oh, but, come on.
I think data is really the next evolution. So once you've got, your base of customers, all their systems are in the cloud, and obviously their data that goes along with those systems is there in the cloud, you can provide a lot more services on top of that. So whether it be reporting or analytics on the data, companies that have disparate data spread across multiple systems on-prem, struggle to achieve value out of that data, and you've often got, especially in large enterprises, we see pockets within the organization that have, they're kind of hoarding data, and they don't necessarily talk to each other. They don't know that you have the same data, or some data that if I add one column to that data set, you can now link it to this other data set and have immense value.
Right.
So that's where we're going to kind of, not necessarily pivot the organization, but kind of expand into
data science.
Correct. Yeah. So I think that's the next opportunity. But, it's still early days for AI, machine learning. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of buzzwords, a lot of things that people know. But I think where we can add value is in our domain expertise in certain industries that we know, like we're big in industrial, mining, and so on. There's a lot of data that those kind of organizations create and collect and are struggling to find uses out of it. So that's where we're doing some pilot projects upcoming with some of our customers in that space. And it'll be interesting to see what we're able to do with that.
I feel in some ways, and I saw Kevin Piesker of Microsoft Canada speak recently about how Canadian adoption of AI is going thus far, i.e. it's not going terribly well, unfortunately. I feel like in many ways it's sort of the next cloud frontier in terms of the next thing that it's going to be big everywhere and take some time to catch on in Canada.
I don't think that's unique to Canada, though, because I've talked to some people recently where the financial services firms have invested heavily. Some of them, they've hired like teams of data scientists. They figure they want to beat the S&P 500, for example, right? So they're now, collapsing some of these groups because they're not getting any value out of it. And we've seen our customers, actually one in particular, went out and hired, half a dozen data scientists thinking, well, that's going to solve our problems, right? But data scientists without the context and the domain knowledge of how that industry works and how their data is generated, what value is in that data, a data scientist isn't going to be able to, provide that real result that you're looking for. It's going to be a lot of, data points and fancy graphics or whatever maybe, but is it really going to provide the end customer business value? Exactly.
Right on. What are you hoping to get out of Cloud Summit X this week?
To me, it's there's great content, but it's all about the who you meet, talk to. It's the connections that you make, and that's why I brought our chief marketing officer Tate here as well. He's here to make some connections and build those alliances because we're a boutique shop that focuses on Azure, and we rely on partners that we work with to evolve our ecosystem and expand our ecosystem. So if a customer comes to us, we're their trusted advisor, and we don't have a certain offering that meets their needs, we can bring in those partners and say, okay, we've got a complete solution for you as a customer that you don't have to go around, shop around to multiple vendors to get what you need. So I think that's our strength, is we know what we're good at, and that's Azure, and that's what we want to be known for as being the best. So,
how do you typically engage with those partners, and what do you find makes a good fit on that kind of partner-to-partner connection?
I think the best partnership is one where there's no overlap or even perceived overlap.
Yeah.
If there's a chance that you're maybe competing, even if you're in different markets, different regions, it's a chance for conflict, and you don't want that in a partnership. So what I seek out is those partnerships where a company isn't offering, say, Azure. So if we partner with them, they're not doing any Azure, whatever the service they're bringing. We can actually augment what they have. So they have the same thing. They've got relationships with their customers, and they know a customer's moving to Azure, or they want to modernize an application. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? We've got Blue Silver Shift here. We're good partners with them. They bring us to the table. And likewise, say, you know, a networking company or UC or what have you, we don't offer those services, but we partner with companies that do. And same thing, if a customer comes to us and says, oh, what can you give me for, you know, a voice over IP solution or whatever, mm-hmm. and like, hey, we've got the right people to the table. And sometimes that might even be white labeling that person, that company's right. solution under Blue Silver Shift's name, or vice versa. It's yeah. transparent.
So. It's all based on what works best for the customer, sort of.
Exactly. Yeah, it all depends on the situation. So being flexible, I think, is key. And ultimately, it comes down to the individual people that are, you know, the founders or the managers of those partners that we choose to do business with, because we've had partnerships that just go nowhere because the individuals aren't invested in it and they're just looking out for their own benefits. But the ones that have been most successful are those that are, it's a just a win-win situation, right?
Gotcha. Brilliant. Craig, I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Two of the six Canadian award winners at Ingram MicroCloud Summit 10. I'd like to thank Paul and Craig once again for taking the time to chat on a busy first day of Cloud Summit, thank Ingram for having me out to the event and for their ongoing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. It's about time for me to hit the tech crawl reception on the show floor, but the podcast will be back tomorrow as we'll talk about some of the news from the event with Ingram Micro Canada Cloud boss Greg Onoprienko and bring you some more of the award winners and maybe a few more surprises along the way. In the meantime, if you're enjoying the show, we'd appreciate you leaving a rating and comment on your podcatcher of choice, and don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode. Until tomorrow, from San Diego, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.